So I hand over now to Marco and Yair, who will present a joint presentation from all of the academic committee.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to the academic track at State of the Map. So happy to see you here. It's not always easy after a social event, so thanks again for coming. So my name is Marco Minghini, and I'm speaking on behalf of the academic track scientific committee, which is also composed by Yair Greenberger, Peter Unei, and Godwin Yeboa, and also Levente Ewald, who unfortunately could not be here, but we send him our greetings. So just before starting, I would just like to say that both last year in Milan and also this year over the past few weeks, we got a lot of emails and people asking whether the academic track talks are open to all conference participants. Of course, the answer is yes, and it's even more than yes. I mean, you are all very, very welcome to stay here to listen to the academic track, and please participate in the track. So ask questions, approach the speakers, even question what the speakers are saying, because this is exactly the purpose of the track. And in this very spirit, the first talk actually is given from us, and it will be about an exploration of the interactions between the academic community and the academic research on OSM and the whole community. Just before diving into this, a brief introduction of the academic track. As you might know, this is the second edition of the track after the first and very successful one we had in Milan last year. This year you will see 20 contributions. We accepted 20. You will see 18 of them presented as oral talks. We will have 13 regular talks like this one and 5 lightning talks. Again, lightning talks will be in this room just after this session. So please stay here. And we will have 6 posters later on today in the poster session. The sum is not 20, it's 24, because some of the posters are also presented as lightning talks. Okay, so we are particularly happy of the quality of the talks and posters, but also of the variety of them. So if you decide to stay here today, you will listen to talks coming from authors working in different disciplines. And particularly, we will also have a talk given by a company, just to show the width of research topics and research disciplines involved in OSM, and also many, many different topics. So you will listen to talks about the quality of the data, about the contribution patterns, but most important, applications of OSM with outcomes, results relevant for the whole community. This is our schedule. Just some numbers to compare the submissions and the accepted submissions of last year and this year. You can see from the table on the right that the situation is overall quite similar, but I would like just to draw your attention on a couple of numbers. First is 45% over there, which is the percentage of abstracts co-authored by people from more than one country, which is a lot because it means almost half of the abstracts. And also 12 people are, look at the bottom line, 12 people contributed and accepted abstracts both last year and this year, which tells us that the research community is actually active. It's stable, it's mature, it's very diverse, geographically speaking, but also diverse in terms of disciplines, in terms of topics, and still developing. Currently, how does the integration with the OSM community happen? Let's say officially through the academic track, but also through this OSM Science mailing list. I'm not sure if you are all aware of this. This is a mailing list active since January 2017 and especially created and dedicated to scientific applications and discussions about OpenStreetMap. Of course, it's open to everyone. But it's clear that interactions also happen in many other ways and channels, mostly because many OSM scientists like me, like us, are also OSM mappers and contributors and users. So this is exactly the reason of our talk. So we will try to explore the dimension of these interactions and the effects that it has on both the scientific and the non-scientific community. And I will pass the microphone to Yair for the details of this work. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Marco. I'm very happy to see all of you. And as Marco gave a talk introduction, this is bit of a study about science, about how science in the context of OpenStreetMap is carried. So it is framed with a general understanding of science that switched from the idea of having a very objective researcher, which is non-participant, into ideas that talk about researchers acting within paradigms, within a set of values, and that research evolves and science evolves through interactions. And Latour studied that looking at labs, but it's true for every type of science. People, researchers, interact with each other, interact with their subject of study, and by that they may get affected or may adopt different conceptualizations of their object of study. And OpenStreetMap is open to many different kinds of interactions, like this conference, like mapping, like just using the data. And what drives us in this research is the idea that the engagement with the OpenStreetMap community probably affects the kind of research that is being carried. And that's what this talk is about. So we're trying to understand what kind of engagements are there, how they are related to the way researchers conceptualized OpenStreetMap, and how those two things, engagement and conceptualizations, affect the actual research that happens. And also, we'll try to finish with maybe a more normative, or not necessarily an academic contribution, but thinking about how can we bridge the map according to the mode of this conference. What can we do to make OSM research better integrated into the OSM community and vice versa? So how did we do that? What's this study is based on? Well, mostly about a review of literature of publications from the last 4 years, basically, 2016 to 2019. We used Google Scholar to find publications with OpenStreetMap or OSM in their title. That resulted in 181 publications. This talk is based on 136 of those. 8 were removed because they were not in English or not about our OSM, about different OSM. And some of them, frankly, we still haven't had the chance to explore. So 136 is still a nice number. We also collected auto-reflections, self-reflections, like we wrote to ourselves, how did you come to study OSM? How do we think of OSM? What were our interactions? And we also interviewed some researchers that relate to OSM or use OSM in the research and try to understand how do they understand OpenStreetMap and what's the history of their interactions and how do they view the future of both research about OpenStreetMap and OpenStreetMap himself. So this talk would mainly focus on the first part, the paper review, with some initial insights from the latter one. So the first research questions we had is how does open research, the research community, engages with OpenStreetMap? And what we did was read the papers, basically, look at things like the abstract, the conclusions, the method, even the acknowledgments, and try to find any evidence of engagement with the community. And 60% of the papers had shown no sign of engagement. But the other categories, and I'll go briefly through them, so we have acknowledgement, so basically just acknowledging the help and the advice of people from the community. That's the, in terms of engagement, the most frequent one. We have occasional development, so that's like in the conclusion section, someone saying, oh, the results of this study could be used to help the OpenStreetMap community or help the data quality and so on. So that's the second most frequent. Then we have actually studies of the community, indirect, meaning studying the traces of the community of mappers. So analyzing the history of the data. We also have, which is becoming less and less frequent as we go down, direct study, meaning actually engaging with mappers and asking them about their procedures. And the categories that are least frequent are papers that were written in an attempt to contribute to the community explicitly. And so that's contribution. And meaningful development, so in contrast with occasional development, people actually talking specific procedures for integrating the results back into the community. So it's like in hindsight, but still some kind of willingness and thought about engagement. The second thing we want to know is how does this engagement relates to the kind of views that the papers express about OpenStreetMap, about the conceptualizations. So in this graph, I hope you can see the colors well enough. The thicker the line, the more papers that were belonging to the same two categories. So the categories we used for conceptualizations, first of all, OSM as a data source, I think that's self-explanatory. Data produced by contributors, so that's saying OSM is a data source, but there are people behind it. And kind of finishing with that, so it's still very data-centric. Then we have contributors producing data, so that's already switching to more weight on the mappers themselves. A collaborative project based on contributors, so talking more about the project. Talking about community, either a unified one, so the entire body of mappers, or a community of community, that's a diverse community. And finally, a social product, a set of procedures or practices that create the data and create the project and actually affect the mappers. And what we can see here, first of all, that the data-centric view is the most dominant, and it's the one that is related to the no engagement. So we already see a relation here. People that do not engage with the community, or at least don't show signs of engaging, are also the ones that tend to use OpenStreetMap as a data source. But when we go into more direct contact, or even indirect, object of study, indirect object of study, direct contribution, we can see that the weight, the thickness of the line of data-centric views becomes thinner and thinner, and ideas like social product, like a diverse community becomes gets more weight, basically. So there are already evidence that engagement leads to more complex notions of the community and of the project. But what did people actually research? So that's a word cloud based on the titles after removing stop words and decapitalizing everything. So we can see that data is very centric, and above it, quality, using OpenStreetMap for. So you can see the dominance of still that idea of OpenStreetMap as a data source. We can see a lot about land uses, so building, urban, land, road, up above quality. And that's also related to many land use, land cover classification papers that look at the data. But evidence for thinking about the mappers themselves are not as strongly evident here. So you can see, if you see quality, land, routing, and then you have like communities and volunteered in smaller print. So you can see that the notion of studying the community is still not getting much weight. And we ask ourselves, how does that relate to the engagement levels and to the kind of conceptualizations? And it's clear to see that, using OSM4 and data quality research, the data-centric kind of approaches are very much related to the no engagement and to the data-centric views. But once you go into more engagement and and thinking more about the people behind it, the kind of approaches that we use are more looking into contributing to the community and so on. I'll have to skip quickly through stuff, so I apologize. So we started to think of where can we enhance the engagement, where can we see gaps. So looking at the authors' disciplines, according to their affiliations in the paper, we can see that engagement is more evident in the more social fields, mainly geography, but also social sciences, with the exceptions of computer science and geoinformation, which are basically more technical fields, but show more diverse means of engagement and of and more diverse conceptualizations. But when we turn to look at the journals disciplines, what we can see, and I'm sorry, I'm not hanging too much about the graphs because I'm short on time, is that it seems that the journals, the publication outlets, enforce some kind of homogeneity. So computer science that was very diverse becomes more oriented towards the data, and geography becomes more oriented towards the social product. I'll skip quickly through those. And we also tried to understand the geographical relations. And we classified each paper according to the overlap between the author's origin and the study areas they used. So one means they studied the same area they live in. Zero, that they studied another area. 0.66 means all study areas had authors coming from them, but some authors weren't from the study areas. And 0.33 means that some study areas had authors coming from them, but not all study areas. So a bit away from home. And what we can see that in the perspective area, at least, well, in both cases, either people study close to home or away from home. That's the most popular thing. But the data-centric view is much more dominant closer to home. Okay, so it kind of gives us the insight that people that think of areas that are away from their home encounter more stuff and develop a more complex idea about OpenStreetMap. So we try to get into engagement via the interviews and to establish some kind of causality, and through the interviews and personal reflections. And what we can see, well, certainly, engagement affects the complexity. When people talked about it, they acknowledged that. And we could see three tracks. An OSM academic, someone that's reading or that engaging with OpenStreetMap but doesn't become a mapper, which shows kind of the more basic understanding, or academic that becomes a mapper that has a developing understanding, and a mapper that becomes an academic, which is kind of logical but doesn't have to be that way. The first community that you contact within OpenStreetMap greatly affects how you interact with the community and your willingness to share your research. There's the issue of how much being a mapper affects me being a researcher and vice versa, and that's mostly seems to be unconscious. And, well, it seems that people that are least engaged are the ones that are more willing to discuss the basic assumptions and data structures of OpenStreetMap. We saw some meaningful relations. I think we can say safely that the way we interact with the community affects the way we do research, and maybe even that our engagement affects our ability to look beyond the OSM data structure. Where can we improve that? That was the last question. So we need to work outside our comfort zone, both in terms of stepping outside our discipline and going away, not using our area, going to areas that we don't understand. We need to raise an awareness to the complexity within technical fields, and we need to increase communication with the mapping community and get their views on that, which would be a follow-up research. And this is how we're gonna
interact now. Briefly close this presentation with the outcomes that we have for this year's academic track, in addition to the talks and to the posters. First outcome is the proceedings. You may be aware that we collected all together the accepted abstract. We packed them into a single volume and we published it some days ago. It's openly accessible to everyone under CC BY, so from this QR code or directly from the academic track page on the conference website.
Also, I'm happy to announce that we will have a special issue on high-ranked scientific journals. Still, we need to decide the journal. Probably this decision will be taken in a couple of weeks after the conference. What is sure is that the title will be OpenStreetMap as a Multidisciplinary Nexus, Perspectives, Practices, and Procedures, and it will be open to everyone, so not just to the authors who are presenting their talks today. In the very spirit of OSM, we will have an open access special issue. We are kind of negotiating now with journals the best possible conditions in terms of article processing fees, because if you are academic, you know very well that publishing under open access often means you have to pay. So just as a final invitation for all of you, get registered to the OSM Science mailing list. Help us to keep this mailing list active, share your doubts, share your questions, but also not just there, but also in other channels and in other lists, of course, because again, we are academics, but we are all part of one single community and we all need each other. So finally, I would like just to thank people from the State of the Map Working Group, especially Christine and Michael, but also people, all people from Heidelberg, especially Martin, that was really, really supporting together with the local, the State of the Map group. They were really, really supporting the academic track and allow us to be here and to run this very successful track. Finally, again, thank you very much for attending.
Thank you, Marco. We're just going to allow one question, and that will bring us to start the next session at 9:30 and allow the room change. So, first person to put their hand up that I can see, Patricia.
You have a...
Out of the 10 interviews, how many of those were women? Of the 10 qualitative interviews that you did with the qualitative perspectives, how many of them were women?
There's a bias. There's a bias. There were, let me think about it. There were at least two out of the 10. At least two out of the 10. I'm running the names right now in my mind, but I don't remember exactly. But it's a bias that reflects the bias within the research community. So yeah. Women researchers are harder to come by, but if you want to contribute, yeah.
Okay, if there's one quick question there when the room is empty. Okay, so I'll thank the speakers on behalf of myself. We have a question up there.
Thanks. It looked like you were looking at specific phrases that people used, which made me wonder if some of those phrases came from citations. And it also suggested when you looked at the journals that people were using similar language. I wondered if you can use that to identify whether people are all citing in a certain direction, and then you can choose people who may be nodes that you could actually speak with and say, hey, you're influential in the community. Is that something that you've thought about?
Well, no. Frankly, thanks for the suggestion. I would suspect that if you look back at reference networks, the citation networks, it would lead firstly to good chat, yeah, and to some of the people in the scientific community, in the scientific committee. But I think it could be an interesting addition, and that's something we can look at. Thank you for the suggestion.
So as a follow-up to that question, governments are looking at alternative ways of leveraging data, open data, to support policy work. A lot of that is in the direction of open data, open government. And my question is, have you considered any linkages through the format of citizen science? We're seeing some of that. Citizen science, for example, the Great Lakes Basin, the government put out a proposal to look at ways of leveraging citizen science to help them ground truth the data that they're collecting and analyzing through machine learning.
Well, what Thanks for the question. So what you're asking is basically about another set of actors that are related here, and that's government or public agencies that try to use the data and have an interest in the data. And at the moment, they're certainly part of the system or triangle, or maybe even more than that. At the moment, we're focusing on the research avenue and the origins of that. And actually, that didn't come up too much in the interviews. There were some mentioning of industry, of working for public organizations or industry, but we're not considering that explicitly because we're trying to look at, first of all, at those two communities. And as long as we don't see any very impactful connection about that affects conceptualization, that affects engagement, we'll stay there, but that's certainly something that we need to follow up with.